You can't be spiritual without a right relationship to the Holy Spirit. We've talked about the Word, the Spirit in the flesh, the law of the Spirit hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And then, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Grieve not the Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Quench not the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Those are all succinct statements that tell us how to be filled with the Spirit. Now this morning, the subject is the Word and the Spirit. And I'm asking you to take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to John 17. That's where we're going to begin. John 17. The 17th chapter of John is the high priestly prayer of the Lord. This is the Lord's Prayer. Would you agree with that? I mean, PB people, I mean, you people know this. I mean, this, there are a lot of folk who don't understand, but this is the Lord's Prayer. The prayer: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, is not the Lord's Prayer. Christ never had to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. He was the impeccable, sinless Son of God. That's the disciples' prayer. As a matter of fact, to be very technical, that prayer, what is usually called the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, that prayer will be prayed more intelligently in the tribulation. Because during the tribulation time, those who are converted will pray, Thy kingdom come, and that's the next event. The kingdom. We really don't pray for the kingdom today. We pray thy rapture come. It's not wrong to pray for the kingdom today. It's like praying for supper when you haven't had breakfast yet. You could do it. But we're looking for the rapture. The kingdom comes after the tribulation. And the Jews will pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, because without the mark of the beast we can't have bread. And deliver us from the evil one, the Antichrist. But this prayer, when I say that, sometimes people say, oh, Dr. Wagner, please don't say that about the Lord's Prayer. I had that sung at my wedding. That's still tribulational. And if your father paid the bill, it probably is, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. But it's a beautiful prayer. It's a beautiful prayer, but this is the Lord's Prayer. And it's the most intimate part in John, because Jesus Christ allows us to listen while he prays to the Father. I have a whole series of messages on the prayer requests of Christ in John 17. I'm not going to deliver that series this morning. But he prays. He prays that we might be one. He prays that we might have his joy in verse 13. He prays that we might be kept from evil in verse 15. He prays that we might be missionary minded. In verse 18, I have sent them. He prays that we might have a unity in Christ in verse 22, that they may be one even as we are one. He prays that we might have his love. Verse 26, he said that the love with which thou hast loved me may be in them. Those are all prayer requests to the Lord. makes a great series of sermons. The prayer request I want to pick up on and amplify on this morning is in verse 17. Here is one of his requests. He prays this: sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Let's read that. The Bible God gave us? just having a little fun here. Don't get upset with me on that. All right? Let me read. You read it out loud with me. Together? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now there are two parts to that verse. And each part answers a question. Question number one. What is truth? Now, of course, if you ask the world that, they'd say truth is relative. We can't know the truth. What was truth in 1996 may not be truth in 97. And what is truth today may not be truth tomorrow. And to them, truth is a fluctuating, vacillating thing. Pontius Pilate, that poor, pitiful, pussyfooting politician, asked the question when he looked at Jesus. He said, what is truth? And he didn't realize that he was looking at truth personified in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. Now, if you ask me what truth was, you say, Pastor Wagner, give me a definition of truth. I would say truth can be seen in two areas. Number one, there is the incarnation of truth, which is Jesus Christ. And there is the inscripturation of truth, which is the Bible. Jesus Christ is the truth. The Bible is the truth. And have you noticed the correlation between those two? They both came to us by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God moved in the womb of a virgin, and truth was personified in Christ. Prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Spirit of God moved upon the womb. Christ was born. Spirit of God moved upon the minds of men and directed them as they gave us the Word of God, the Bible. Each of them, Christ and the Bible, are perfect. Jesus Christ is the immaculate, impeccable, perfect, sinless Son of God. And the Bible, this Bible I hold in my hand this morning, is the complete, final, authoritative, verbally inspired, inerrant Word of God. Amen? So they're both perfect. 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New, written by 40 different men, over 1,600 years. Perfect truth. The New Testament is in the Old concealed, the Old is in the New revealed. The New is in the Old contained, the Old is in the New explained. The New is in the Old enfolded, and the Old is in the New unfolded. If I had the Old and not the New, I would have a good beginning but no ending. If I had the New and not the Old, I have a good ending but no beginning. What I have is God's complete authoritative Word. This is the truth. Amen? And we believe that. So Christ and the Bible both came from the Holy Spirit. Christ and the Bible are both called the truth. Christ and the Bible are both perfect. And this is the truth. Now, question number two, and the one that I want to spend a little more time on this morning, is what is sanctification? Because he says here, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, I want to get a little doctrinal here. Sanctification. Actually, when you talk about sanctification, there is what we call a positional sanctification. When you got saved, God sanctified you when you were saved. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. 1 Corinthians 1:30. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians 6:11. Where wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify his people, suffered without the gate, with his own blood, suffered without the camp. Hebrews 13:12. I have been sanctified. If somebody says, hey, you're saved, but are you sanctified? Absolutely. I was sanctified when I got saved. Because sanctified simply means to be set apart. Sometimes I take my watch off like I'm doing here, and I'm going to say, right before your eyes, I'm going to sanctify this Timex watch. So how are you going to do that? Well, I'm going to pick it up here. And I'm going to put it over here. It just got sanctified. Because that's the idea. I was in darkness, and God took me out of darkness, and he put me in light when I got saved as sanctification. I was lost, now I'm found. I was hellbound, I'm heavenbound. I was in the family of Satan, I'm in the family of God. And I have been sanctified. And we call that positional sanctification. It is something that God has done for us when we're saved. That's why that verse says, and such were some of you, but ye are sanctified, ye are justified. In that verse, sanctification is mentioned before justification. Not that it is before, but it simply says that when I got justified, I also got sanctified. And that's a positional thing. Happened when I was saved. Every Christian can say, I have been sanctified. Now, there is what we call an experiential sanctification. There is a sense in which God is sanctifying us every day. And the way he does that is by the Holy Spirit, through the Word. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word. Ephesians 5:25. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy Word. The Word of God is the agent that is used by the Spirit of God to sanctify us every day. You have that in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John. In John 13, the Lord washed the disciples' feet. And he was symbolically saying to them, I am washing your feet. And your feet need to be washed every day in the water of the Word. He said in John 13, what I do now, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter said, Lord, you'll never wash my feet. And Jesus said, unless you let me wash your feet, you have no part with me. But what did he mean? I think the water there is the Word of God. And Jesus is symbolically saying to him, Peter, unless you keep your feet washed, you lose your fellowship, your part. Because it's very important that the Holy Spirit sanctifies me through the water of the Word of God. And Peter said, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said, he that is washed all over, bathed, needeth not save to wash his feet. In other words, I've been washed all over in the blood. I'm saved. But I need to get my feet washed every day in the basin of the Word of God. And that's how the Spirit does it. The Holy Spirit does not work apart from the Word of God. And the Spirit of God takes the Word of God, and as a result of the application of the Word of God, the water of the Word, I'm sanctified. That's why it's so important, folks, for us just to be in the Word all the time. I have saturated myself with the Word of God. I started memorizing Scripture when I was just a kid. I've been doing it all my life. When I go to bed at night, some people count sheep. I start with Genesis, and I just quote all the verses I know in Genesis. Usually I fall asleep about the middle of Exodus. And sometimes I will be in the Psalms, or I will quote the New Testament. I carry a little Bible with me that with all the verses that I've memorized. I have a little computer that I carry with me that has the Bible in it. So when I'm on the plane or wherever I am, I have a little computer. I have it in my room, and I usually carry it in my pocket, and I just open that up, and I just dial that verse in, and I just saturate myself with the Word of God, because if I'm going to be cleansed and sanctified and usable for God, you just can't get too much of the Word. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. Years ago in Trenton, New Jersey, I guess it was Richland, Washington, I decided that I would read the Bible through once a month. And I did it. Every month I'd read the Bible through. Now, it really wasn't too sensible, to tell you the truth. I was more eager than I was able. But I get up early in the morning. It's not that hard. It's 50 chapters a day. And I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if I could touch every verse in the Word of God once a month? So wherever I was preaching, I could get all these verses to bear on what I was preaching because I was reading the Bible. Well, the only problem with that is my eyes gave out after a few months. Because I read other things too. And I had books to read and sermons to prepare. And so I deviated from that. I'd read through the Bible, the first month and try to find every verse in the Bible that refers to Christ. And then read through the Bible every verse that bears on the Holy Spirit. Read through the Bible every verse that deals with heaven. And my delight is in the Word of the Lord. And that's the way He keeps our feet clean. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. This is the sanctifying cleansing of the Word of God. Now take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And let me illustrate this with a marvelous, marvelous verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And look with me, please, at verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says this. But we all with unveiled face, open face, beholding as in a glass, a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit, here it is, even as by the what? Spirit of the Lord. Now look this way, will you please? Let me illustrate this verse. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are changed. The word changed is the Greek word from which we get our word metamorphosis. Remember in school you learned about metamorphosis? Out of the polywog comes the frog. Out of the cocoon comes the beautiful butterfly. It's biological metamorphosis. That's the word translated change here. Now look at it. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are changed. From glory to glory. And then he says this, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. By the way, that word changed is the same word translated transfigured. In the Gospels, it says Jesus was transfigured before them, metamorphosis. It's the same word that is used in Romans 12 when it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed. So that's how you read it. We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are changed. We are metamorphosized. We are transfigured. We are transformed. From glory to glory. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So here's what happens. Now are you ready? Let's pretend that you're boys and girls. Are you ready to help me understand this verse? I'm going to say something, and once I say it, I want you to repeat it after me a time or two. Here's how it goes, all right? The Spirit of God takes the Word of God. Now, say it with me. I'll say it once through, and then I want you to join me. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God and stamps the image of the Son of God on the child of God, and we are changed. Let me say it one more time, then I want you to say it with me. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God, stamps the image of the Son of God on the child of God, and we are changed. Metamorphosis. Say it with me. Ready? The Spirit of God takes the stamps the image of the Son of God on the, and we are transfiguration. Well, you are a bright group. It takes Baptists about four times to get that. Spirit of God takes the Word of God, stamps the image of the Son of God on the child of God, and we are changed. Let me illustrate that. I am a photographer. That's my hobby. I have two Nikon F3s, and I have all the lenses on them. I have a speed gun on that camera that goes 6 frames a second, which I use for baseball and football games. And I just take pictures. I've been taking pictures this morning of palm trees. And I've been down to the lake. I've been take pictures. I carry my camera wherever I go. I have color in one body, camera body. I have black and white in the other. And that's just what I do. And I also develop my pictures. I have a lab in my home. And downstairs in our first floor, right next to my library, I have a photo lab and I develop pictures. I do color pictures and black and white, and I enlarge them. I've enlarged pictures as large as almost the side of the wall. It's kind of hard because you got to develop it in the bathtub. But that's just what I do. It doesn't take a lot of smarts. I've done that all my life. In every home that I've lived in, I've had them make a darkroom. Now, I want to illustrate this verse with my darkroom. May I do that? Now, let's pretend that this platform is my dark room. This is a little big for a dark room. It's about half this size. And on this side of the dark room, I have my enlarger. And it's a Bessler. And what you do with the enlarger is you take a film and you put it in the enlarger up here. And then down below, you take a sheet of paper, light-sensitive paper, Kodak, of course, and you put it down on the easel. And what you do is you put your film in up here, you turn the light on, the light shines down through the negative on the paper. Then over here facing us, there is a table, and we have trays. Well, we develop the liquid. We develop the picture. First tray has developer. Second tray has stop bath. The third tray has hypofixer. Fourth tray has a sink with running water. So this is the dry side over here where I put it in the enlarger. And this is the wet side here where I have these trays of chemicals. Now I'm going to develop a picture. Now here's the film. And on this film are my grandchildren. Got to get them in a message once in a while. And let's say I have in this film Lindsay Wagner. It's my granddaughter, and Joshua. Joshua and Lindsay, and they're in this little film. So I put it up here in the enlarger, and I turn on the enlarger about F5.6. I time it about 2 seconds, because this is a polycontrast paper. And I put this down here, and I turn on the light, and the light shines down through the negative and projects the image of my grandchildren on this paper. And I was doing that the other day, and I thought, wow, what a great picture of what God does. Because, you see, the Spirit of God shines down through the Word of God and stamps the image of the Son of God on the what class? The child of God. And I'm light sensitive. I'm born again. I know the Lord. And here I am, light sensitive. And the Spirit of God shines down through the Word of God, gets the image of the Son of God on the child of God, and I'm changed. Isn't that marvelous? So stay with me now. Stay with me. I get the negative in there, and I turn the light on, the light shines down, and projects the image of my grandchildren on this paper. And now, once I get that done, they're in that paper. I just haven't developed it yet, but they're in there. And I come over to the wet side, and I take this print, and I put it in tray number one, called developer. And this is the fun part, because you got a little red light on, you can see it. And you kind of agitate. The book says agitate. You like to agitate? Are you a good agitator? You'd be good at this. The book says agitate. And you move that little print around in that first tray for about 2.5 minutes. And I keep looking. And while I'm looking, behold! Appearing on that print is Joshua and Lindsay. You know, isn't that how God works with us? He puts us in developer. He's developing us. Sometimes He agitates us. You, Lord, why are You doing this? What have I done to deserve this? He's developing us. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God, stamps the image of the Son of God on a child of God, and then God develops us. He agitates us. Now, if the print could talk, it would say, well, what are you doing to me? I'd say, shut up, idiot. I'm developing you. Here we are. And God does that to us. He develops us. Maybe you're going through the developing process right now. You say, Lord, I don't know why you're allowing this. I've served you all these years. I don't know why you're allowing all this. But because he wants you to have the image of his son. Because you are special to him. I mean, my friend, this is custom work. This is no Polaroid. For they're all the same. Push, pull, and peel. This is custom. And God is working in your life, and he's doing things in your life that are very special for you, because he wants to develop you, and he's developing you. He holds the book. He knows exactly how much agitation it takes. Well, the next step is the print comes out, and you shake the chemical off, and you put it in stop bath. Now, what do you think stop bath does? It stops the developing. Otherwise, it would just get dark and dark and dark, and it would be overdeveloped. And it's acid. You better wear gloves. 5 seconds is all you can take. And when you get it in there and you get it out, has God ever put you in stop bath? You say, Lord, everything was going so well in my life, and I was being blessed of God, and I was enjoying life, and all of a sudden, everything stopped. That's part of this program for you. So here I was doing good, and then all of a sudden I'm having a bypass. I'm in a hospital. I'm confined to a bed, and I say, Lord, what have I done? It isn't that you sinned. God, in his custom laboratory of grace, is working in your life, and a little stop bath. You take it out of stop bath, and get the chemical off, and you put it in hypofixer. Now, you don't have to remember this, but hypofixer cleans off the crystals, and it fixes it. Otherwise, it won't last long. It gives it permanency. And you know, I am blessed by the fact that there are no accidents for the child of God. God doesn't just play with us. There are no fortuitous events in our lives. Nothing just is good luck, bad luck for the Christian. Everything God allows in my life is a part of his pattern and his plan in the developing process of the child of God. Do you believe that? Everything. And what you need to do is yield to him and say, Lord, I don't know why the agitation, but I know you're developing me. And Lord, I don't know why you got me in stop fast, because I really don't like this. This is acid. I mean, it's not, I hope it's not long. But God is working in my life and in yours. Hypofixer. Then you take it out, and you get the chemical off, and you put it in a basin of water, and you let the water run for about 5 minutes, and it moves around in there and gets it all nice and clean. And then you squeegee it off and put it on the dryer, turn the dryer on, little special dryer for prints, and after you get it dried, then I say, Ruth! Ruth comes running in. What is it? I say, Joshua and Lindsay. How do you like it? She says, looks just like them. That is them. You know, my dear Christian friend, I can't think of anything more wonderful when God's all through with you and me. When the Spirit of God takes the Word of God, stamps the image of the Son of God on the child of God, and when God puts me through the developing process of life all these years, I can't think of anything more wonderful than for the Father to say about you and about me, he's just like my son. He's just like my son. Because that is what this developing is all about. But we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image. From glory to glory. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and stamps the image of the Son of God on the child of God. We are changed. And the reason God has allowed in your life what He has allowed is because He wants the image of His Son to be indelibly impressed upon your life. So don't complain when the agitation comes. I've given this message. I gave this message a few years ago when Lehman Strauss, his first wife, was in such bad condition. Remember his wife, first wife? And how she was just so, she went out weeping. She says, oh, I guess God has just put me in the, stop that. I guess God is, and she wept as she said, God's working in my life. And I think we all relate to that. I think you can relate to that. Oh, to be like Him. Oh, to be like Him. Precious Redeemer, pure as Thou art. Come in Thy sweetness. Come in Thy pureness. Stamp Thine own image deep on my heart. Amen. See, the Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, takes the Word of God, stamps the image of the Son of God on the child of God, and we are changed into His likeness. Thank you, Father, for your working in our lives. Sometimes the stop bath gets a little tough. Sometimes the agitation is a little hard for us. But we know that you have a timetable. You have your way of doing it. We submit ourselves to you and pray that whatever it takes for us to be in the image of your Son, then do that in us. We want to be like Him. So help us to accept the vicissitudes that come our way, not as something that is unusual, but as something that is necessary in this divine developing process in the laboratory of grace. Oh, to be like Him. Stamp Thine own